Sports Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You know, it must be a Saturday because I'm sitting here in this closet with you.
That's right.
And it's hot outside.
Very hot, and it's hot in here.
Seriously hot out there.
It's steamy in here.
Life in the Fast Lane, Melissa Sargent, good morning. It is the El Paso History Radio Show, and we are going to do what we normally do and speak about history.
That's right.
What am I hearing here in this extra little hissing going on here in this radio?
That's the hissing I heard last.
Is that the same thing last week? A bunch of hissing going on. We'll get to those people.
It wasn't the people going.
You know, we weren't here last week because we all had a vacate thing going on here.
Yeah, we took a day.
But we did one of the largest crowds of shows we've ever done without us here.
So, yeah,
25,000 people on
everywhere.
Facebook looking at that. So anyway, live show today again. We got all kinds of stuff going on, 690 AM and where else?
You can listen to us on iHeartRadio. Anywhere you go, there's an internet connection. You can catch us in Afghanistan. You can catch us in Dubai if you have an internet connection. That's
Dubai,
right.
Huh?
That's right.
Fair enough. All right.
I think that's that hiss again.
Sergio's tracking down the hiss in there. But also got trivia going on today. What else?
Let's see. Well, we have the $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's, where you get wonderful New Mexican food up there in Canyon, too. And we also have
a bunch of DVDs.
Oh, there goes a copy.
Oh, dear.
Crap, everywhere.
Oh, Shelly, we have an emergency coffee moment.
All right,
we're going to move on to something else while Melissa bathes in coffee over there. You can have a Pepe's coupon in Canyon Kia for hour one. We have a $20 coupon, hour two, the same thing. But also, we got a bunch of DVDs to give away. What are they? Hey, Chris, this sounds like live radio to you?
Yeah.
By the way, Mexican. Oh, good thing they got plastic on them. If you call.
Oh, my God, that's a mess over there. Go get the mop.
Yeah, well,
I don't think you've ever done that one.
My friends will all come and go, hey, she needs a sippy cup, and I do have sippy cups at home.
Sippy cup for coffee.
Because I'm so clumsy.
Well, we now know that. Okay, but moving to the things at hand. Oh, by the way, we're going to go to Pepe's at lunch today, and if you want to go with us, Pepe is going to be on vacation from July 3rd through 12th, so come today to get your food. Or place a takeout order today, and you can have food while he's gone. But in the meantime, we're going to eat well at Pepe's today. All right.
Director Chris Orwall explains the New Mexico Museum of Space History in Alamogordo, how you can visit, and what history it has to tell you. That's the basics we're going to do, okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
That's the basics. But you're also a seasoned professional. You got outstanding experience leading one of New Mexico's most cherished and important cultural institutions. Says this right on your website,
yeah, exactly.
By the way.
Exactly, there you go.
Orwall began his museum career after retiring as a nuclear submarine officer for the U.S. Navy with 20 years of service. Commander, thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Well, that must be kind of hard duty occasionally when you can't see air.
You do spend months at a time down in a tube, you know, under the water. So But it's kind of like being out in space. And I've had that discussion literally with some of the astronauts where, you know, both situations, you're inside of a metal tube or a metal structure.
The isolation.
Very tight, very cramped. The equipment, if you take a look at the space shuttle technology, when it was flying, it's the same as the submarine technology. The panels look almost exactly the same. And you're surrounded by an environment that at every second is trying to
kill
in and kill you.
It could kill you.
Yeah. It's just the way you die is a little bit different in each location.
Well, and it's the pressure, the same kind of pressure and things that you're going through underwater.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep.
All right,
yeah,
so the human emotions and everything.
You're the guy sitting in the hot seat as the director of the New Mexico Space Museum. Is it Museum of Space?
Museum of Space History.
It's
a long title.
That's who you are. You're sitting there. You got this going on. But let's take a look at the history behind you southern New Mexico about space. And we're talking way back in the 20s and 30s even.
Oh, yeah.
Boy Goddard.
Well, if you really want to go back, you got to go back even further than that.
Where?
You know, because you're thinking of, you know, space history. Think about archaeoastronomy is what, you know, what we talk about. So think Stonehenge, you know, things like that.
Oh.
Well, we've got Wizard's Roost up in New Mexico, you know, a site that was built up there where they, you know, utilized a stone structure that was constructed by, you know, an ancient culture to try and, you know, take a look at the time of the year and things like that. So we've got places like that. The first recorded image of a supernova is actually in New Mexico as well with one of the petroglyph sites where you've got kind of a hand and a moon, and then the supernova explosion, you know. And so people have been looking at the stars in this part of the country, as we well know, you know, El Paso all the way up through New Mexico and Arizona and everywhere, for ages, because it's such a great location to look at the stars. So that's been going on for forever.
Well, everybody starts at about 4,000 feet in this valley, all the way up to Tularosa, about 5,000 feet and change.
Yep.
And at that point, you can see better. But let's look at the history as well. El Paso is going to, I will state this, El Paso will claim space history in that it was the first place that the German scientists slept.
Yep, the paperclip scientists, those guys came over.
That's
here.
Right.
Yep.
So El Paso is in the space race from the beginning. They got up and left and went to New Mexico to work.
It was kind of a work-a-day sort of thing, you know. Well, so Fort Bliss is where they were living, but White Sands Missile Range at that point in time, it was the proving ground. So proving ground.
Those guys, I used to see them. Those scientists would go meet the bus out on what was War Road.
Huh.
And you didn't get on War Road unless you had a reason. Yep. And it started right at Dyer and Diana, and it went all the way out to White Sands, and they'd all park their cars out there in the desert. The buses would pick them up and take them out, and that's El Paso's claim to the space race. Okay, we'll admit that. But having taken that step now, let's go to the next step. You've got Goddard out there in the 30s firing rockets.
That's really where, if you think about space history here in America, you know, I mean, there's multiple different locations. Goddard obviously started off in Massachusetts, you know, and up in Auburn, Massachusetts back in the early 1900s. And then, you know, he was experimenting with all sorts of different kinds of rockets, solid rockets, ion rockets, but the liquid fuel rockets is where he started to make his fame.
Right.
And the first launch of that was in 1926, you know, and it goes up, you know, about 50 feet, goes about 180 feet off to the side, and it lands in a cabbage field. It belonged to one of his relatives. But his experiments were kind of annoying people in that area, and so he knew he had to get somewhere else, and so he talked with the meteorologists and figured out that the best place, you know, and folks who were involved in that, the best place to do his experimentation was in southern New Mexico, just due to the fact that you've got so much clear sky all the time, et cetera. And so he moved down in 1930 and started working out of Roswell, just outside of Roswell. So, and by the way,
in 1930 he got there.
Yeah, yep. And the Roswell Museum, by the way, has got an awesome
display where they show his entire lab. So I need to get that out. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. And he was considered the father of American rocketry.
Yeah, there's three fathers of modern rocketry that are considered: Hermann Oberth in Germany, Konstantin Tsiolkovsky from Russia, and then Dr. Goddard here in America. And so, he's the one who,
his patents really are what, you know, everything that he learned, you know, whether it was the vanes, the engine being able to move, cooling the engine shells, you know, so by having regenerative heating, you know, with the fuel coming down through. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Well, hundreds of patents that were utilized in our space program.
Well, was the 1920s or the teens that he had actually the patent for the three-stage rocket.
I do. I can't say I remember exactly when that patent was, but yeah.
Yeah, I looked one up, and it was a three-stage rocket, and you're thinking back then, and that's where they're still using is...
Oh, multi-stage rockets, you know, so single-stage, multi-stage, kind of different uses for different things, but yeah.
I mean, both Goddard and Tsiolkovsky were really looking at those things in parallel, you know. So,
it's an amazing history, and he's an amazing individual, you know. So, and the fact that, he came here to the Southwest and did the vast majority of his research and launches and learned what he learned that was then utilized by the Germans during World War II, he learned it here.
I bet a quick question would be, did he read H.G. Wells as a kid? You know, I mean, everybody I've read or talked to or has, they always kind of like fell back to H.G. Wells. Because he was such a futurist.
All of those folks, we not too long ago inducted H.G. Wells and
Hall of Fame?
Into the International Space Hall of Fame because dreamers like that are so critical to inspiring, you know, space fact. Science fiction and space fact, it's like a big circle, you know, where one influences the other. Science fiction will influence science fact. Science fact will influence science fiction, and it goes around and around.
Geostationary orbit was like that.
Yeah,
Arthur C. Clarke created that idea, and people, that'll never work. Those things will fall off. Well, they just sit out there and look at you because they're falling at the rate you're turning.
One specific position.
Yes.
Yep,
so.
And then you move into today when you have, a few years back was Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, the communicators, the things that they're doing, the doc with his scanner.
What do you know about Star Trek?
Oh, just a few things. Yeah,
tell us about your exhibit.
We got a little exhibit there at the museum. Yeah, we inducted, you know, when you talk about dreamers, we inducted Gene Roddenberry into the Hall of Fame last year.
Who was lived in El Paso for a short period of time.
You got it. So, yeah, big connection there. So, you know, and you talk about, you know, Star Trek influenced so many folks in the space program,
of
that era and today, and, you know, and still does with all of its many different worlds that it lives in. But so when we inducted Gene Roddenberry, we did an exhibit about Gene, but if you're going to do an exhibit about Gene, it's got to be also about Star Trek.
Yeah.
So we have everything in our exhibit from a transporter that people can get into, not that we really send them anywhere, but they can make it look like they are getting sent somewhere because it's an exact replica of the one
to
exactly.
It's not that very far.
So, but then we also have original props from the TV series. We have one of the Tribbles from the Trouble with Tribbles episode.
My God. Oh my God.
We have the Enterprise encased in acrylic from the Cat's Paw episode, which was their Halloween episode one year. And then we have the spears that were utilized in the Galileo 7 episode where they were trapped on the planet and the giants were attacking him with the huge spears. So, we have those on display as well. So it's a really fun exhibit.
Well, this is all going on at the Alamogordo Museum, known as
the New Mexico Museum of Space History.
And that's in full title. That was not always a New Mexico state event, was it?
It's always been a state institution. It started off as the International Space Hall of Fame back in 1976, but it was started up as a state institution
as part
of the Office of Cultural Affairs, now the Department of Cultural Affairs. Changed its name in the 1980s to the Space Center, and it stayed that way all the way up through the turn of the century here in 2000 when they changed the name to the New Mexico Museum of Space History, which is a marketing nightmare, but, you know, that's the name of the museum.
If you've ever driven through Alamogordo, you have seen this museum.
Oh, you can't miss it if you're heading to Rio
Doce. It's the one up on the mountain.
Yeah, you can't miss it on the side of the mountain with the big golden cube on the side of the mountain, glass building.
And by the way, we should tell people, not as a warning, but as an invitation, on Tuesday night, you're going to blow the place up.
Hey, well, yes, sort of.
The sky.
Hopefully not. Yeah, the
not
sky.
The building.
The sky,
the sky,
not the building. So,
but you,
yeah,
you were telling me you're putting in these big mortars. You're launching the big stuff.
Well, yeah, we're just moving up in shell size this year because we changed the launch location. So,
talking fireworks here, people.
Yeah, fireworks. We're talking fireworks. Yeah, so not rockets and, well, actually, sort of rockets. You know.
Yeah.
So rockets, red glare. There you go. But in any case, the fireworks show that we do every 4th of July. It's actually the city's fireworks show. We host it up there at the museum and have been doing that for almost next year's our 40th year.
So actually, it'll be up to the side of the museum,
yeah,
so it'll be up where you can see it from.
It's on the
quite
museum grounds,
well,
is where we're launching from, and so, I mean, it's visible from anywhere,
essentially
in the Tularosa Basin.
Well, if it won't bend you out of shape too much, could you put one up a little higher? We can see it down here in El Paso.
If we could get one up that, that's an awfully big shell.
Yeah, we'll do it. But in the old days,
we'll coordinate with the missile range.
Chris Orwell is here, director of the museum there, but in the old days, that used to happen. We used to see that stuff from El Paso, not your museum fireworks.
Nope.
But
yep,
occasionally there would be a vapor trail going straight up to the north of my house, way out there. I'm thinking, oh, they did another one. And that was in the 50s and 60s. I'd come home as a kid about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, look, there goes another one.
There's this.
I have no idea what was going on.
And I will tell you that they're still doing launches out there. They're still doing launches at the missile range. And you can still, from our place, you can still see launches going off with some regularity. So, you know, and there's all sorts of things going on between Holloman Air Force Base, where the test track, you know, that's a big piece of space history, you know, and we'll probably
the guy with
get
the
into
sled.
That. Yeah, with Dr. John Stapp, you know, we'll probably talk about him, but that sled track is still operational today and is probably one of the busiest things on Holloman Air Force.
Paul Stapp, he was the fastest man alive at one point. How fast did he go?
632 miles an hour. Although I don't think I was supposed to say that because I think that was...
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
We get it out on purpose.
Can you imagine,
Can
you imagine being strapped in a chair? I mean, I've seen the videos of him going in that chair, and it's like, that had to be, what a rush.
Yeah, well, a rush, but it was one of those nerve-wracking moments. You know, he didn't do anything. He didn't have anybody do anything that he wouldn't do himself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the reason he put himself in that chair when they did those tests. Now, admittedly, they'd built up towards that, but when they did that final run, you know, when he started it off, he did not know how that was going to end. And when it finished, his physical condition was such that he thought he was going to be permanently blind because the capillaries in his eyeballs had all burst. So his eyes instantaneously turned red.
Okay, this is not good.
Oh. So he looked kind of like the devil when he first came off the sled, you know, and he had all sorts of wind and sand and, you know, other injuries. You
but
know,
he had a great
time,
bruising,
right? Injuries. Yeah, so wild ride. But
that amazed me. He didn't have any kind of face mask, really,
He had the helmet on. He didn't have glasses, so.
Oh, he didn't even have glasses?
Yeah. So.
All right, that's the fastest space guy we've heard about. Now, that was not quite the sound barrier, was it?
It was right. It was just below. Yep. So
why didn't they take him
level?
Oh,
I can't even imagine.
Well, his goal was to go even faster.
Yeah, okay.
Essentially, the Air Force shut him down.
Was he going to blow up or what?
Blow up, but he
if he
to a point, you don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. But essentially, he was trying to find out what the limit was.
The
so,
hard way.
You know, how do you find that limit? Well, you know, you keep going until you see what the limit is, until the injuries are such that you can't stand them anymore.
I couldn't imagine him trying to break the sound barrier because I think that would have killed him.
Well, let's not find out.
Yeah, it didn't happen, so we don't need to worry about
that. On
that
note, let's take a break. Shall we do that?
Should we take a break?
We got stuff to give away today on the trivia, a little bit extra. Check this out. So, read
Mannheim.
You don't want to give that away, do you?
Oh, this one. I have heard this one.
The American Spirit CD.
That's right.
What does that mean?
Mannheim Steamroller. We always kind of think about, you know, Mannheim Steamrollers being Christmas music, but they do music for all year round, and they are wonderful. And this is the American Spirit, which has got some wonderful music of, you know, all the American songs, you know, for
We're
all
gonna
the
give
Disney
that
concerts.
Away today.
Yeah, this is really cool.
And right? Also a bunch of DVDs that you did not read that we were going to give away because you gave them a coffee bath. The White V2 Rocket.
You read them.
V2 Rocket.
Ooh,
White
Sands
Missile Range. That's a giveaway today.
Yes.
These are good over here. The Gunfights of the Old West, Tom Lee's El Paso.
Which is the best because I'm in it.
There's a question one has to answer by calling us on the phone. What is that question?
It is, who was the American father of rocketry? And we did talk about that, so you better be listening.
Do we take only one answer?
Because he was really, truly the American.
Okay.
Because we were talking about the other ones were from the other parts of the world.
Chris, on the third base judge over here, has just decided it's one. Okay.
It's one.
We're going to go with that. So we have to answer the question.
Who was the American father of rocketry?
Rocketry in America.
That's right.
The American father in America.
That's right.
Enough of this. Call us on the phone.
Okay. 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The Tom Russell song, Tonight We Ride, begins with Pancho Villa's famous ride into Columbus, New Mexico. Our ride isn't quite so famous, but it's a whole lot more fun. This weekend, the Harley Owners Group, better known as the Hogs, will meet at I-10 and Loop 375, then travel down Route 28 and follow it all the way to Columbus, New Mexico. For those who want to, and have their passports, they can park their bikes on the American side and cross over to Palomas, Mexico and feast on truly authentic Mexican food. When you're in Palomas, not only will you feel cooler because you're at an elevation of 4,100 feet, you'll be cooler because you're riding a Harley. Heading back home through the pecan orchards, you can marvel at the fact that the Plain Jane pecans are the number one commercial food crop in the state. As always, the adventure begins at Barnett Harley-Davidson. Or when you click on BarnettHarley.com. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Summer's here, and that means vacations, road trips, good times, and bad snacking. From greasy gas station chips to airport candy to whatever's on the plane for $12. Ouch. This summer, take NatureBox with you instead. NatureBox has over 80 sweet, savory, crispy, chewy, satisfying, surprising snacks under 200 calories per serving with no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. Asiago and cheddar cheese crisps with real cheeses. Whole wheat chocolate chip cookies. Big Island pineapple made with only one ingredient, pineapple. And we're always adding more. So before you hit the road, stop by naturebox.com. With over 80 snacks under 200 calories per serving, we'll make this summer more delicious no matter where you're going.
Visit naturebox.com/radio. And for a limited time, get a free box with four snacks. That's a $19 value for free. Visit naturebox.com/radio for your free box with four snacks today.
His eyes darted between the blue wire and then the red wire. Back to the blue, back to the red. A bead of sweat dropped from his brow to his hand, which grasped a pair of pliers. He took a deep breath, steadied himself, and cut both with one swift squeeze of his tool. The boy screamed as the doctor pried the braces from his teeth.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something,
Imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got to tell you about the feathered serpent. What do you think about a feathered serpent?
That was one of the rockets.
No, this is a guy spreading its wings, building knowledge and religion in the new world. This is about an archaeology museum lecture today, 2 o'clock. They added this one. The abstract is that the 13th and 14th centuries were a period of rapid cultural change in North American Southwest, yet this cultural transformation included the high-fidelity transmission of Mesoamerican religion across the region. How did they get this from one little place to the other? That's an unusual fact that it spread, and it did. The people are going to tell you about it today, Todd Van Poole and his wife, Christina. They've been looking into this stuff. Get out there today, 2 o'clock on Trans Mountain Road, 4301 Trans Mountain. It's the Museum of Archaeology, and you go out there today, 755-4332. Hear about stuff. They got stuff out there. What do you
stuff?
Got?
Stuff? Lots of stuff. Well, you know, we're sitting here. It's summer. You got to do something with the kids because by now parents are going nuts. Okay, the Museum of History has summer camps for students. This is the first week. They got June 27th through July 1st, Inventions of Science of History.
Why not?
And then you have week July 14th. They've got History Mysteries, Missions of Trails and Conquests. More titles they have online, and you can go to where she didn't. Oh, historyelpasotexas.gov or community engagement. You can call contact our Jamie Connote.
Nodler.
Why can't I do that? For more information or you can register, please contact Jamie, and you can find out all the different camps they've got going on. And speaking of space camp, we have the
Rocketeer Academy.
Is what we call it. How cool is that?
Oh, actually, it's an absolute blast for the kids who are able to participate in. We finished up our first 3 weeks of it right on June 23rd, and then we kick back up again with our second 3 weeks on July 10th.
What do they learn?
So you got everything. You've got Rex Rockets Asteroid Roundup, which is kind of got to do with dinosaurs because dinosaur camps are always good. But yeah, it's really a lot about, you know, how do we look out in space and figure out if there's something that's going to come and hit the Earth potentially and maybe, you know, wipe out the dinosaurs kind of thing. So
kind of wipe out the people.
We're talking about that. We got space bots and more, which is think robotics, think space. You know, you've got all sorts of stuff that applies with that one.
Can a kid from El Paso come to one of these camps?
Sure can. Now the only problem with us is that we don't have overnight camps. Really, well, we do have overnighters, but they're part of our regular day camps. All of our camps are day camps, so somebody would have to ferry them up and back each morning and
afternoon.
What's
the phone number for that camp?
It's 575-437-2840. And they can always go to our website, nmspacemuseum.org, and, you know, there's a link on there for summer camps.
But, you know, considering that there's really no other camps close that are, if they have kids that are interested in that, the only thing close to that would be League City,
Houston.
Houston's got some,
then Huntsville, obviously, so.
Also, there are other camps at other museums all over El Paso, but this one is Space Camp we're talking about, Alamogordo. But the History Museum has them, the Archaeology Museum has them.
Oh, yeah.
They go to Waco Tanks.
That's true.
So if you want to put a kid in camp, here's another option. They're everywhere. All right, let's move on to trivia. Shall we do so?
We shall do that.
Are you ready for David?
I'm ready.
Is David ready for us? Hey, David, you ready for us?
I am.
Okay.
Okay, David.
What's the question?
Who was the American father of rocketry?
Robert Goddard.
Yay!
Oh, what a genius.
Yes, indeed. What do you know about the man?
Not too much, but I was listening.
He was the first guy to do space things in Roswell.
Pretty much,
and
yeah.
I think he attracted the aliens. What do you think?
Well, anything's possible in that realm. Although, you know, once you start launching stuff into space, no matter where it is, or you start flying aircraft, people are going to see things.
Well, Goddard was in Roswell, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he lived in Roswell for, you know, for essentially the rest of his life.
Is that where he was shooting the rockets?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. He started launching there He moved there in 1930. Started launching in the 1930s and did the vast majority of his research there. You know, he did time in Annapolis as well. There's cool. a number of other locations that he did, but the vast majority of his research was done there in just outside of Roswell.
All right, David, you got a choice here.
Another test. What do you want? Do you want a video or do you want Pepe's?
We've got the V-2 rocket at White Sands Missile Range today we're featuring.
That's right.
It's a 13-minute feature.
Yes, and we have all the other videos, so if you have a choice.
Tom Lee's El Paso.
Tom Lee, rocketry.
David, are you still there? David.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well. Okay. The videos or what?
Pepe. Well, we have Pepe's, New Mexican Food, $20 gift certificate to that, or Gunfights the Old West, Women's Club, Tom Lee, Mexican Revolution, MacGuffin Homes, Ghost Stories 4 and 3.
Pepe sounds good.
Pepe.
Oh, good choice.
6761 Donovan. We're going there today, by the way. We should warn Pepe. We're coming out there.
Yes.
Should we?
We're going to send him off on vacation.
Well, he's going to get lost for like 10 days because they're going to go turn the place off and come back later. But in the meantime, today's a good day to go out there, 877-2152 if you want to call him. But it's 6761 Donovan. David, you know where that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you're set then. All right, hold on the phone. Shelly, come tell you how to pick it up, all right?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Thank you for listening.
You
take her easy. Shelly, we got a winner here, and I want to thank the control room people, Shelly Sutherland, taking the calls on the abuse in that order, and Sergio Valenzuela, the main man who does the electrons, 1, 2, 3.
That's right.
Sergio Valenzuela. Thank you very much in there. We're going to take a break, come back with Chris Orwals here. We're talking more space history in our region, and what do you got?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook, too.
Can we see Facebook?
Yes, I can see Facebook. I don't know about you, but I can see Facebook. We've got a lot of people.
And after the break, we'll talk more, shall we? Call us up if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now. 800-347-5776. 800-347-5776. That's 800-347-5776.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than on any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection, and Match is not only number one in first, but second dates, too. Now, here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/AM for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/AM. That's match.com/AM. Match.com/AM.
Bryce's lifeless body slumped over the piano keyboard. His forehead played a dissonant chord that reverberated throughout the hall. Not his best performance, I thought. I opened the back of his neck with my screwdriver. A couple of fresh bars of lithium brought him and the music back to life. I am sure that someday he will do the same for me.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something, imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. call 915-581-7099.
iHeartRadio has all your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all for free. iHeartRadio makes it so we're always with you, right there in your pocket. Take us with you wherever you go. iHeartRadio keeps you connected to us, so you never miss a thing. Plus, if you want variety, you can check out thousands of the best radio stations from all across the country. It's super easy. Listen at iHeartRadio.com or download the free iHeartRadio app right now.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, we're all here talking on the radio, punching on computers. We're stirring up Chris Orwell. That's what we're doing. And he's getting ready to come out with some stuff. But yeah. We got to do a couple of little quick announcements here. You got archaeology going on today? What do you got? What do you got?
Don't miss the Archaeological Society's annual potluck picnic. That's July 15. And members and prospective members can come out for this event. And it's going to take place at EPAS Labs at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. And that's at the Trans Mountain campus of the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. And this is an informal gathering of EPAS members and close friends and relatives as well. And, if you're thinking about joining them and learning about archaeology, you don't have to be an archaeologist. They will teach you. A lot of my friends have gone, and they've learned so much about it. They love it, and they just stay forever and ever. And the society will provide plates, napkins, utensils, cups, and iced tea, and if you prefer soft drinks, please bring your own. It's a great time to become reacquainted with old friends and make new ones and join EPAS. For information on the EPAS speakers and outings, it can be found in the events section of the EPAS website, which is epas.com. And also they have a public contact, which is Fernando Arias at 449-9075. Also, you can call about the museum for their special summer archaeology camps at 755-4332. Get those kids out there. Get them off the games. Get them out of the house.
Go poking around in the desert.
Yeah.
But do it correctly, because they'll teach you how to do that. That's at the right. Archaeological. There's a summer camp for kids out there. They actually, they bury stuff out in the yard. They know what it is.
Yes.
And they say, go look over here, see what you can find. And they find something, go, yee-haw, look here.
They bury one of the museum workers, and they go find them.
Yeah, that's the way. It's easier that way. When they start screaming, you dig them up.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the issues at hand here. We forgot to pick a Pepe's special for the Oñate
special.
Commander Chris Orwell, if you don't mind, sir, pick a special here. Become the special of the day.
I think we're going to go with the red or green chili chicken enchiladas.
And those are now going to be $6. That is the Oñate special of Pepe's, the red or green chicken enchiladas, otherwise in southern New Mexico known as Christmas.
There you go.
For the first time in about 6 months ago, like, what are you talking about?
Hey, red and green.
No. One red, one green.
It's divorciado. That's the correct way.
I see.
If you're in Mexico, it's divorciado.
Well, I'm just going to have two tacos, please. Thank you very much. But that's the special today. We got that figured out. Going out to Pepe's. All right. Moving on to the reality. You got something to do with
it? Well, there was a gentleman online. Let's see. Dan Taylor. He's asking if our guest today is wearing his Star Trek uniform, which we have a picture of online, but he doesn't. He's wearing his shirt, which says...
What is this, outer space dude?
It says Mars is closer than you think.
And
it's kind of like a concert tour shirt that's from Lockheed Martin that shows all of the probes that they've sent out to Mars.
These guys get all the good stuff. Yep. You get all the good stuff up there.
I bought this at Kennedy Space Center.
Oh, you bought it. Okay.
Yeah.
In that case, that's cool. It's
like
even better.
Like a good tourist, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Even better. Well, we were talking about the space history in the general region, and now you've got all the way dialed up. There's a spaceport up the street.
Yep.
I mean, you got stuff going on everywhere. What about all the history there? White Sands Missile Range?
Oh, gosh,
so much that's gone on.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sometimes, jokingly, we say we have trouble convincing people that New Mexico is part of the United States, you know?
Yes.
Let alone that space history really in the United States began in New Mexico.
Oh, yes.
You know, with what I was talking about before with Dr. Goddard. But then when you get into the launches, you know, and as you've mentioned, you know, you have the what we call the paperclip scientists, although there were multiple different programs that brought them over here. So, but in any case, the German scientists came over here. They set up White Sands Missile Range. During the war, you know, there was the air base Alamogordo, there was Biggs Airfield down here. Then, you know, right during the war, you know, you get the bombing and gunnery range established, and eventually it becomes the proving ground. But so much happens in this area at those locations, at Holloman and at White Sands Missile Range, White Sands Test Facility, and, you know, in Roswell, in this region. But the missile range, the launches that start occurring there, when they bring the V-2s over, you know, they brought over, you know, over 300 rail cars that came to Las Cruces. And most people think that they brought the missiles over there in their entirety, and they didn't. They actually brought them over components.
Parts.
And then they assembled them here, you know, and then tested them, et cetera, and then launched them. And did many launches here. But your first launches into space are occurring, you know, here, at least in the United States, are occurring here in the Tularosa Basin. Your first launch of living creatures into space occurs in the Tularosa Basin. The first pictures taken of the Earth from space occurs in the launch from the Tularosa Basin. You know, the first, you know, you've got Kittinger stepping out of a balloon at 102,000 feet, you know, because they're testing the capsules as part of the programs that the Air Force was doing with the high-altitude ballooning. You've got Dr. Stapp, who's doing the testing on the high-speed on the high-speed test track, you know, for testing human endurance inside of with the harnesses, you know. It does go on and on, but the missile range, you know, during the war was testing, you know, what they called the Loon, which was the JB-2 missile, which was a copy of the German V-1, the buzz bomb that they launched, you know. So, and those were launched out of that area as well. So, I mean, we could talk about that for hours.
Did they ever see combat? They never saw combat.
No, it did not. Yeah. So, yeah.
The V-1, that was the one that really didn't have, they kind of just shot it out and it would just land where...
No. It actually had a pretty decent guidance system.
Which was the ones that they shot
that
into
was the,
England?
That was the V-1. You had the V-1 and the V-2. So the V-1 was the buzz bomb and it...
And they just kind of sent it and they hoped it would hit...
It had a pulse jet engine and as it would go along and it made that buzzing noise.
Yes.
That brrr, you know, as it flew along.
Like an airplane.
And in the front of it, at the front of it, it had this very tiny, small propeller-looking device. And as they knew it was going to fly at a specific speed based on the engine, so they knew that it would rotate that little tiny propeller at a speed. And so inside was a counter, and they would set that for a distance equivalent to the number of rotations that it would do based on the speed it was going. So it had a gyro in it that would point it in a specific direction. It had a counter in it that would count down, and then it would drop out of the sky. Totally inaccurate, very easy to spoof, and the British and Americans over in England and elsewhere where it was launched did spoof it, you know, with spies going back and telling them that things had landed in different locations, et cetera, et cetera. But it was, you know, it was highly inaccurate. As long as you could hear it, you were safe.
Yeah, so I know, everybody could,
the minute
could
the
clear
noise
the
stopped,
area.
That's
yeah,
when you were in danger.
About 400 miles an hour, that thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
then you hit the V-2. What speed was that? 3,200 miles an hour.
Bingo, yep, so, yep.
Wow. That thing hit like a bullet, and you didn't even hear it until it exploded.
The first ones landed in London, even though the government knew that it was V-2 weapons, the people in the area thought it was like gas line explosions and things, because you didn't hear it coming in. All of a sudden, bam, it was just there, and at the same time that you're getting the explosion on the ground, you're getting the noise from the missile as well, you know, as you would expect with something coming in supersonic.
That must have been pretty much of a shock for the British because they were so used to hearing
the first
one, and then all of a sudden
hearing something coming in a ballistic trajectory.
Well,
from
Melissa,
space.
You remember there was one here from White Sands that went over the heads, our heads, and ended up in Juarez.
Yep,
at a house of ill repute. Yes.
Oh, I thought it hit a graveyard.
Graveyard.
Well, I know, but it did some of the
debris shall we say, the, yeah.
Yes, excited yeah. everybody.
Oh, so yeah. we got into some of your territory.
Yeah, but it didn't only happen down here. What also actually flew over Alamogordo and landed in the land just adjacent to where the museum is now.
Can you talk about the very first one they launched? They had this big bunker out there that's now needs to be turned into a museum. Mm-hmm. The first bunker, Complex 33, I think.
Well, it Complex they're 33. Turning that into one,
yeah, it
aren't
should
they?
Be.
Yeah.
But the very first one they launched, from what I understand, it went straight up. And so they all come running out to look at it, and they realize, it's coming straight down.
so they all ran back in the building.
It didn't go exactly straight up, but it has that visual aspect to it.
Well, half a mile away, it ended up impact. Yeah.
But it has that visual aspect.
Kind of like a Roadrunner moment.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep. Oh no, it's coming back on
us. It's an Acme, Acme rocket. So.
Yeah, but they launched tons of things from Launch Complex 33. Not only did you have the V-2s be launched from there, but the Redstone rockets were launched from there. I mean, eventually those take our astronauts into space. days.
Yeah.
You know, with Alan Shepard and Gus Grissom. So, you know, the first launches really, if you think about it, you know, of that program,
well,
you know, so occurred
they also here. Tested all the Apollo escape mechanisms at White
Sands. The first launches of the Apollo program weren't in Florida. They were actually here.
Yeah.
You had the Saturn rockets. You had the Saturn 1, then you had the Saturn 5, and you had the Saturn 1 and 1B. But before that, you had what's called the Little Joe.
Yes.
And we have one of those on display at the museum, one of the only two remaining. There's one at Johnson Space Center, at Space Center Houston, their visitor center.
What else you got? You got
and
stuff.
Then, oh, gosh, we do. So, but let me just say that the Little Joes were launched here as the first launch of the Apollo program to test the escape system, to pull the capsule away from the rocket. And during one of the tests, the rocket actually did explode while it was going through the air. So they got a, no kidding, real live test of the system pulling away from a rocket that was exploding.
There weren't people in those capsules.
No. Completely test, test systems.
Out of curiosity, why did it not end up staying here? Why did it end up in Florida? Why
politics.
Did it end up on... Well, I mean, I kind of understand Houston
politics.
Because of its
there was
logistics.
All sorts of places being looked at. In fact, actually, one of the places looked at for launching was here in New Mexico. But when you think about the size of the rockets that they're launching, and they wanted something out over the ocean, you know,
good
so
point,
not coming
yeah.
now with stuff coming back down to land. I mean, the Russians launch in a landlocked location, so in Kazakhstan, so it can be done. It just has to be extremely not densely populated in any way, shape, or form. So you know, because of potential problems.
Good
so
point.
That's why they chose But Florida, that was really politics because they put it in one of the locations where you have the most lightning strikes in the United States.
Oh.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
And storms and everything. So it does create problems for them down
hurricanes,
there.
Hurricanes, everything
yeah.
else. But every time there's a cloud, they have to pull it
and
back
guess why,
in.
Guess why the Johnson Space Center is in Houston?
Johnson.
Well,
has something to do with it.
But also where it's at, I think because where it's set on the equator or something down at the, no, not really.
Well, you know, anytime you want to launch rockets, the closer you can get down, as you said, to the equator, the better it is. You know, it's the speed of the Earth spinning around.
Exactly.
So as you get closer to the equator, you're getting more of the Earth's natural speed of rotation that aids
versus
your rocket for getting into space.
Versus the north or the south.
So you want to be as far south as possible, so which is why the Europeans have launched off of ships out at sea down near the equator.
That's right, yeah.
Have, you know, launch pads down, you know, well to the south of us, et cetera.
That voice is Chris Orwell. He is a commander retired from the U.S. Navy. He now runs a museum in New Mexico called?
The New Mexico Museum of Space History.
He's the dude up there to check it out. Now, what else do we need to know? You got stuff all over that museum.
Oh, gosh. We have 57 acres. We have three buildings on our campus, and then we have another building across town that we do that's a shop and a storage area where we have a very large warehouse of other artifacts. Only a small percentage of our actual collections on display. But at the museum on display, we have an outdoor rocket garden where we have Little Joe 2 rocket. We have a Saturn F1 engine from the Saturn V rocket.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's the size of this room.
Bigger than this room, actually.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Dr. Stapp's sled that he rode to 632 miles an hour out there. So there's neat things like that. We have the Daisy Track building. We're inside of there. You've got the Daisy Track equipment on display and portions of the Delta Clipper experimental rocket, which,
and,
you know... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And the Daisy Track was the one that they did inside where they would spin,
it wasn't,
right?
No. That's a centrifuge. There is a centrifuge, and there has been out at Holloman Air Force Base for ages, but the Daisy Track was a metal building, and inside of that was the air launch equipment for a track, like think the high-speed test track.
Oh,
they launched
okay.
sleds down it, but it was a shorter track. They used air pressure, boom, launched the sleds down.
Oh.
They hit a water break at the end, and they used that was used for many years beyond when they were doing human testing, et cetera, on the high-speed test track. That's the track that was utilized to test the harnesses for the Apollo program, the seats for the Apollo program.
Oh, okay.
The fact that we have seat belts now is due to testing that was done
on
that track because Dr. Stapp had them testing the seat belts for vehicles for the auto industry because he'd noticed that more airmen were getting killed from car accidents than from plane accidents.
Oh, yeah.
And so he convinced the Air Force to let him do that testing. So that's, you know, that's a neat piece of history that's on display there.
Well, a lot of stuff has come out of space exploration and rocketry that has been used in everyday life.
Oh, yeah.
Besides Tang,
NASA,
okay?
and Tang was not created for the space program. That's actually one of the urban myths.
Is it really?
Yeah, same thing as Velcro. Most people think Velcro came out of the space program. It didn't. It was in existence
it was
before the space program.
Just
but the space program actually utilized
bottom
it.
Bottom line, do you serve? serve Tang at the museum?
We don't, but we have we have astronaut ice cream.
Okay,
fair enough. Oh, there you go. I'll take that, but
we got to take a break here. This is getting intense here. We're talking ice cream in space. The museum in Alamogordo has everything you need to know, and especially Tuesday night, a major fireworks display.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We're going to keep promoting that until you get a full crowd.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
Fill up the Tularosa Basin with people.
Yep.
In the meantime, take a break. Shall we do that?
Yes, we should.
Call us up if you think you need to, or Facebook us.
Facebook us at El Paso History Radio Show, or call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The Tom Russell song, Tonight We Ride, begins with Pancho Villa's famous ride into Columbus, New Mexico. Our ride isn't quite so famous, but it's a whole lot more fun. This weekend, the Harley Owners Group, better known as the Hogs, will meet at I-10 and Loop 375, then travel down Route 28 and follow it all the way to Columbus, New Mexico. For those who want to, and have their passports, they can park their bikes on the American side and cross over to Palomas, Mexico, and feast on truly authentic Mexican food. When you're in Palomas, not only will you feel cooler because you're at an elevation of 4,100 feet, you'll be cooler because you're riding a Harley. Heading back home through the pecan orchards, you can marvel at the fact that the Plain Jane pecans are the number one commercial food crop in the state. As always, the adventure begins at Barnett Harley-Davidson, or when you click on BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Don't miss the 4th of July sale ending today at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pick up 5 quarts of O'Reilly Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for $21.99, or upgrade to High Mileage Full Synthetic for $22.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Most people only get one precious opportunity to ask the love of their life to dinner. I've had around 703 every day around 10 a.m. in Bumpus, Virginia. She runs a stationery company out of her garage. I deliver packages, say sign here, engage in small talk, and today, on my 704th chance, I'm taking one.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something, imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
iHeartRadio, with a message from the British Red Cross.
In response to the attack at the Manchester Arena last month, we launched the We Love Manchester Emergency Fund with Manchester City Council and supported by Manchester Evening News. The funds raised are supporting people who have been injured or bereaved by the attack. To donate, you can visit the website www.redcross.org.uk/love.
Little Caesars, the home of the large hot and ready pizzas, like the classic pepperoni for $5 and the deep, deep dish pepperoni for $8. And don't forget the crazy bread. All this and more at Little Caesars, plus tax at participating locations.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, I'm supposed to give away a CD here. Let me tell you what's on it. It's News Radio 690 rolls into your Independence holiday with music that'll make you want to stand and salute. Are you standing right now and saluting?
That's right.
I can tell. Mannheim Steamroller, the Chicago Symphony Chorus, and C.W. McCall with a whole convoy of patriotic music for you and your family to enjoy. Win your American Spirit CD during the History Show this Saturday from 10 to noon on News Radio 690 right now. First caller gets it, 544-5876. Shelley's got one.
That's right.
It's neat stuff. Mannheim Steamroller and they told me to give it away. Star Spangled Banner's on?
Yeah, yeah. You don't even have to answer a question. Just call.
You say, you have to answer what's my name. You have to have an answer for that.
That's right.
So there you are.
Who am I?
Well, you got something over there going on?
Okay, you've got the Southern Pacific Railroad, 1881 to 1996. Speaking of transportation.
Yes.
Okay, and that's at the main library downtown. And the most important single event in the history of El Paso is the arrival of the railroads. See rare maps of El Paso and historic documents, early contemporary art, along with tools of the railroad history. The displays include historic photos from the library archives and uniforms of railroaders. Free parking on Sundays and evenings. And for more information or guided tour, calling for a guided tour or exhibit of the railroad sites, call 915-240-8384. That'll be a fun event.
Okay, no Talk El Paso today. Normally there would be one at noon o'clock.
They ain't talking.
Right at noon o'clock, he's out of town, that boy.
They're being quiet.
They are. Indeed, I think Shelley's in there giving away the Mannheim Steamroller of C.W. McCall American Spirit to somebody on the phone.
Well, that's
and when you get the name,
CD.
Shelley, we'll just put that on here. Okay.
I want one of those.
Well, you're going to have to call
I'll
and
call.
Get in line.
Wait, I got my cell phone.
544.
I have it right here. Never mind.
You already stole one. Easy peasy.
You
better watch her.
I love Mannheim.
Anyway, back to reality here. Chris R. Wall's here. We are talking stuff going on in southern New Mexico. What?
Well, you know, we were talking about Pepe's New Mexican restaurant in Cañotillo, and they're on the Camino Real.
Yes.
One thing that's real interesting is that now New Mexico, the state of New Mexico, added the Space Trail, which is on the Camino Real, which is kind of an interesting addition to the historic Camino Real, because that was transportation. That was people traveling up the trail. Now you've added the Space Trail, which was, got 52 sites.
Yep. Yeah, so and
relating to
it
space.
Seems to keep growing. So it's kind of a self it's a thing that we created. It was created at the museum a little over a decade ago. But the idea was, when you take a look, as we've been talking about, New Mexico space history, it's so incredibly rich with everything from astronomy locations, you know, up in the mountains to spaceport to launch sites. Yeah, the Tombaugh. Yeah, that Tombaugh guy only discovered Pluto, which should be a planet.
Mm-hmm.
We could get onto that later, but, you know, Goddard, et cetera. So we created, you know, just like you've got a wine trail or, a touristy kind of thing, the Space Trail is the same idea, to give people a way to take a look and see what sites are of interest in the state of New Mexico, and then maybe to see which ones you want to go to along this trail, you know, which ones are open and when, and to try and centralize all of that information. So if you go to our regular website, nmspacemuseum.org, you can link to the New Mexico Space Trail off of that, or you can just put in New Mexico Space Trail direct on, you know, any sort of search engine and get to that website and see all these different locations.
When's the museum actually open?
Okay, so we're open. We used to be open up 7 days a week, but now we actually are closed on Tuesdays to allow us to do maintenance and things like that and work on exhibits and things. But we're open up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday from 9 a.m., from 10 a.m., so until 5 p.m., and then on Sundays from noon until 5.
Okay, but this Tuesday is going to be special.
This Tuesday, the museum's still closed on Tuesday.
Really?
That's kind of a state thing. So we're closed during the day, but in the evening we have the fireworks show. And, you know, you can get anywhere in Alamogordo and see it, but if you want really the best seats, if you become a member of the museum, you can come up in. We have a big tailgate up in the parking lots. And for members, they have the opportunity to buy a special pass and come up in there, park their vehicle. They get two spots in the parking lot, so you can bring your grill or whatever else you
tailgate.
Wanted to.
All
so
right.
And you can tailgate up in the parking lot, and literally you're about as close to the fireworks show as you can ever get anywhere.
What time does it go off?
We're going to say around 9 o'clock. You know,
give or take.
Yep, yeah, give or take.
And the weather predicted pretty good. You're not getting rained on.
There's like a 20% chance of thunderstorms, but that's the same every year. And we have some gorgeous pictures of times when there's been a lightning storm in the Tularosa Basin and the fireworks
and
going off up there.
And you're competing with them.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh, the view. Because, I mean, you've got to remember that we are up about, 700 feet up above the Tularosa Basin.
You start
where
pretty
the
high
museum
up there.
Is. So it's, the view is just absolutely gorgeous.
Chris R. Wall is here, and he knows stuff about space. We're going to quiz him in the second hour about what he didn't tell us already.
That's right.
We got to come back after the news and do that. And also, who won the Mannheim Steamroller thing, Shelley?
Me.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did.
Next hour, we're going to talk about all that stuff and more right here on the El Paso Vista Radio Show. Next hour.
See you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.